And welcome to Nighttime Live. Bob Harris here on the Mighty 790 KFGO along with Scott Sorum. And tonight we're going to talk Christmas. Christmas trees, that is, but Christmas trees of a different kind. One from, I guess it must be close to two generations ago. They have an art display up now in Madison, Wisconsin, at the Wisconsin Historical Society. It's the aluminum Christmas tree. And joining us right now is the curator of the Wisconsin Historical Society in Madison, Joe Kapler. Joe, thank you so much for joining us here on KFGO.
You're very welcome, Bob. Glad to be with you.
Have I got that time period right? Most of these aluminum trees were in the 50s?
Actually, the 1960s. They were introduced in the December of 1959, the 1959 Christmas season, to a mass market. And they lasted basically throughout the 1960s. The brand we're featuring, the Evergleam brand, made by Aluminum Specialty Company of Manitowoc, Wisconsin, they ceased producing trees in about 1972.
I love that name, by the way, Evergleam.
Yeah, they nailed it on many levels, including their branding and their marketing. And today, Evergleam, I think, is used widely by folks who just think any aluminum Christmas tree is an Evergleam, kind of like the term Kleenex or Xerox.
Gotcha. Why were these developed in the first place?
The first trees that we know of, aluminum Christmas trees, actually were made by a Chicago company in 1958 or so, and a sales manager from Manitowoc was down there, saw one, bought one, took it back to Manitowoc. They kind of deconstructed it, looked it over. How can we make this better? What can we do? Can we do something like this? Aluminum Specialty had for decades been making aluminum goods, a lot of domestic stuff, pots and pans, as well as toys and decorations. And they've had been making millions of those types of items throughout the 1900s. So this wasn't really that much of a departure. And they were able to streamline the process, make it a little bit easier to produce, make it a little bit easier for the consumer. And they then partnered with that original company to get some licensing usage of some of their technologies. And they took that new product and they then put it out there to their existing markets. They had access to markets coast to coast and in Canada. And it was the perfect formula. And by 1964, 65, they were cranking these out about three shifts a day in preparation for the Christmas season.
Wow. Do we know how many numbers that would be, three shifts a day?
We don't. And unfortunately, the company's long gone, the records are long gone, and the buildings are going away, and some of the folks who are involved are getting up there in years. But what's left are the trees. And we have, over the past 5 or 6 years, consulted with some of the retirees, and we've got to learn a bit from them. And more than a million, probably less than two, made throughout the decade. And looking at all of aluminum Christmas trees made, the Evergleam was probably about 60-65% of the entire market. Wow. Kind of like the Coca-Cola of the aluminum Christmas tree market.
Good point. Let me ask you, did they come in various sizes and shapes and colors?
They certainly did. Probably about 80% of all their trees made were the silver kind, 6 or 7 foot, by far the most common. But even starting in probably 63, 64, they started diversifying a little bit, stay ahead of the competition, and so they added things like accessories as well as small tabletop trees or 4 foot trees or even a bit larger up to 8 foot, and started introducing some colors in the mid 60s, gold and green, and then the famous pink Evergleam, which is pretty rare, and the pink aluminum Christmas tree is the one that Lucy referenced in the 1965 Charlie Brown Christmas special. It's kind of gone into folk and pop culture, or pop, it's kind of gone into popular and folk culture lore by this time.
Joe Kapler, curator of the Wisconsin Historical Society, we're talking about the exhibit of aluminum Christmas trees. Did you have a difficult time finding some of these?
Typically, in how we normally operate, yes. But then, fortunately, there's a little thing out there called eBay, which has made it more possible. Typically, here at, you know, at the Wisconsin Historical Society Museum, we love things to have as much connection to Wisconsin history as possible. Well, obviously, these things were developed by a Wisconsin company. They're all produced in their Manitowoc factory. But then we'd love to get trees that were used by Wisconsin families, maybe in Wausau or Green Bay or something like that, and get those family photos of the family gathered around the Everglade, you know, during the Christmas season. Well, here, a lot of people are holding on to those, like family heirlooms, really. And we're not able to acquire really some Wisconsin used trees, so we had to kind of go to eBay, which is really the marketplace for these. And we have now about almost 20 in the collection, and almost all of those are purchased on eBay. We've had a few donated, and the exhibition, which is up through January 11th, we have about 22 Everglades on display.
Wow, that's really interesting. Hey, by the way, I was going to ask you too, that isn't Wisconsin the number one for live Christmas trees, and yet they went to aluminum?
Sure. I don't know about number one, but certainly obviously ranking up there with, you know, other northern states where evergreen trees grow naturally and easily. So it's certainly a large producer of natural Christmas trees. But I think it's, you know, the connection is obviously the established aluminum goods industry in Manitowoc, both aluminum specialty company and a company called the Aluminum Goods Manufacturing Company, which became Miro, M-I-R-R-O, you know, kind of a very well-known household name. And both those companies cranked out, you know, pieces by the millions, and pots and pans and cookware and things like that, as well as I mentioned, the toys and the decorations. So that's certainly the connection to Wisconsin.
I'm not going to ask you what you paid, but I want you to give me a comparison. What did they pay for those when they bought them new? And if you went on to eBay right now, what kind of price range would you be looking at if you wanted an aluminum Christmas tree?
What they paid then is a lot less than what you pay today, certainly. In the tens of dollars in the 1960s, starting with obviously the small kind of tabletop version, the little two-foot version, and then you get to the larger 7 and 8 foot trees, and then by the late 60s, Aluminum Specialty introduced their Cadillac brand, the True Taper, 139 branches, different sizes, so it was a little bit more complex to assemble, but it had a really thick, lush appearance. Today, right here, right now, in December of 2013, it's usually about this time of year that eBay becomes more active, November and December, and trees, silver six-footers, are going for $400 or $500.
Wow.
And some of those rare ones, the True Taper, and I saw a pink one is on there. I think it might now be gone, but they originally were asking $1,800 a week ago, and I think it was just yesterday it was down to $1,500. So I would imagine they'll probably get four figures for that.
Wow. You know, we've had copper thefts around our area. I'm sure yours as well. And I was thinking, you know, boy, what would they get for scrap metal if they turned one of these in? But it's obviously they get a lot less than what they could get for it on eBay.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And the needles, so to speak, are aluminum chaff, very lightweight and kind of almost a byproduct of aluminum industry. So they could adapt existing products and byproducts, and as well as some of their tooling, so it didn't take a massive retooling effort to put these together, which again helped keep the cost down and made it an extremely successful product line for the company.
Joe Kapler here from Madison, Wisconsin, the curator of the Wisconsin Historical Society. What happened in the 70s that we kind of saw them disappear in the early 70s and back to the more natural ones?
Perhaps back to the more natural, and also I think you saw the rise of the artificial tree. Now, to be sure, the aluminum tree is not an artificial tree, and it never was intended to be. It is what it is. It's an aluminum tree that mimics or looks like the has the form of a evergreen tree. Starting in the mid-60s and later, the artificial, the vinyl and the plastic trees with dark green meant to mimic an actual tree, you know, produced for convenience, really, those really rose in prominence. And then I suppose just consumer tastes waned a bit, and we don't really know, but I imagine the sales numbers didn't justify the production, and they essentially pulled that product line like they probably do with many others.
I know that a lot of folks will be traveling through Wisconsin come around Christmas time, and they can take a peek of this display. But I am just kind of curious, what kind of a reaction are you getting so far from the people that have been through?
There's two types of reactions we get on the front end. One is media, and the fact that I'm talking with you and Fargo is certainly an indicator. I've done many interviews, and that is great, both locally, regionally, and some now nationally. And that's great because it's a great story. And then and I think the reason folks want to talk about it is because you're not going to see this anywhere else. I don't know anybody else who might have a few aluminum Christmas trees, but I don't think anywhere else they have 20-plus Evergleen Christmas trees that are out there. I can't imagine there's been a grouping like this since maybe the toy shows of the 1960s or maybe up in the company headquarters lobby or something like that. So we do kind of have in one section about 16 of the large trees all together, kind of a forest, and we got it beautifully lit and got some of those color wheels, the reproduction ones. We're not plugging in the vintage ones. Got them on there, and so it's just a really beautiful kind of ambient atmosphere. So I don't know if folks are kind of traveling through this way or if you're going through to the east or heading towards Chicago. Obviously, Madison's an easy stop off the interstate, and downtown Madison is really special this time of year. We're right across the street from the gorgeous Wisconsin State Capitol and all of its Christmas decorations and toy trains, and there's a number of museums and cultural attractions right down on Capitol Square. And lots of retail. So for us, we developed this as kind of a way to enhance people who come into our museum this time of year, especially to shop. And it's turned out that it's become very popular and it's drawing lots of people. And so for the visitors so far that I've talked to and have observed, some have come back because we've done this exhibit a few other times in the last 8 years. Nothing of this scale, but you know, some folks have seen these before and they're bringing their kids to show them. And others, you get a whole range of reactions, just like I'm sure the consumer did in 1959 when these rolled out.
Joe Kapler, once again, Wisconsin Historical Society out of Madison. The display is up on the aluminum Christmas trees. Where can they find out more information? What's the best way to get a hold of you and museum?
WisconsinHistory.org. So it's all spelled out in one word, WisconsinHistory.org. And then there's a museum button to click on. So we have our kind of our events calendar for shoppers, and we have a lot of store sales in the month of December, and we're open 7 days a week through December 23rd. It's kind of some special hours, and it also has information on how to get to our facility and parking and all that. And as well, if you just search Evergleen on our site, you'll get kind of the story of our special tree. We have one pink tree that we got about 8 years ago, and not only that was that made in Wisconsin, it has a whole life of its own and use in a storefront in La Crosse, Wisconsin. So that one tree we were looking for to have both a history of production and use in Wisconsin, we were able to get, and it happens to be one of those pink ones. So it's the perfect thing, and its story's online.
Excellent, excellent. Joe Kapler, thank you so much for joining us here on KFGO. I appreciate it, and happy holidays to you, sir.
Same to you, Bob. Thank you.